Đúng rồi. We're gonna do it. Good evening. How's everybody? Let me mention a couple of things before we get started. If you have a gift for the pastor to help them during their journeys back and forth, and anything that you can do to help them, if you have something tonight, if you'll give it to me before you leave, I'll see that they get it. Remember our services. Justin was going to call me before service started, but I hadn't heard from him. But Lily did well. Christy texted Catherine and said everything went really well. So that's an answer to prayer right there. So now we need to pray for her healing. Doctors can do the surgery, but they can't do the healing. So we need to pray for her healing. On our prayer list, remember the children's home, Diane Healy, Jim Jr., Leonard and Dolores Palmer, James and Shirley Townsend, Claudia Darby, Harold Doff, Donna and Carla Rich, Carla's brother Don, Connie Norton, the Daly's, Jim and Jenny Clanton, Emily McCrickard, Joyce Manning. All these need, please remember to pray for all these. All these need a touch from the Lord. And that's what he does. Remember our Christmas offering, which will be Sunday, the next two Sundays. The 15th will be our special songs from our choir, and there'll be a communion service. So please remember that. I love communion. I love to do communion because of what it stands for. It's a real honor and a blessing to be able to do that. So please remember that. A special service. I always think it's special. I hope it is. I hope it is to you. Communion is special. Can everybody hear me okay? I wear a hearing aid and it sounds like I'm loud. But then Catherine in Sunday school says she can't hear me. So if you can't hear me, well, throw something at me. get my attention. I don't know. Probably I drive further than anybody in here, but after driving in the Christmas traffic for over an hour to get here, I'm not sure I'm fit to teach. Traffic's bad. Let me do this. Does anyone have a special prayer they'd like to make known to us? Let's remember these. Before we pray, I want to do something a little different. I guess you figured out, if you know me very well, you know sometimes I do things a little different. I want to ask you three questions. And I'm going to ask for a show of hands on these three questions. How many of you believe the Lord could come back at any time? Everybody in here, I believe that. I believe if you look at the news, you look at what's going on in the world, well, it could be any time. I mean, any day. It could be today. We don't know. Tonight. I might not even finish this, and he might come back. We don't know. The second question I want to ask you is, how many of you believe let me rephrase that. If you believe the Lord could come back at any time, and we believe that, we said you did, how many believe or think I wouldn't need to do anything different if I thought he would come back this time, by this time tomorrow night? I would not need to do anything. If that's true, raise your hand. Uh-oh. Well, let me ask you this. How many of you could guarantee me that you will be here tomorrow? That the rapture won't happen, or that something, an accident, something might happen? How many of you can guarantee me that you will be here tomorrow? Anybody? Nobody. So that sounds to me like, if we believe he could come back, if we believe something might, let me do this. Let me use myself for an example. In 1984, all of you know how old I am anyway. I was 40 years old. I was in construction. I've been in construction about 12, 13 years. I was a pretty strong, healthy young man, compared to now I was young. Anyway, to me now, 40 is really young. I got up that morning, got ready to go to work. Everything was normal. I mean, no problems. Looking forward to day's work. Little did I realize, before that day was over, I would be in North Fulton Hospital, cardiac care unit, with so many wires hooked to me, I thought they was going to electrocute me. I was a little scared. The doctor come in and told me, said, if you can make it through tonight, you might be all right. You might make it. I didn't. 2 o'clock that morning, my heart stopped. I was blessed to be hooked to all that, so the nurses and doctors knew it immediately. So they was able to get my heart started back. So I was that close to meeting God. That close. Any of us here could be that close. We don't know. We don't have any guarantees. We don't know. So what I'm saying is, it's important we're fixing to pray. You say it's strange to do an invitation before you even teach or before you even preach. But you yourself said, I might need to pray before I meet God. Before it's, whether it's through the rapture or through it's an accident or whatever it might be. All of you said you might need to pray. Why not now? Why not now? We're going to do a silent prayer like our pastor does. I like that because sometimes we have a tendency, when somebody's praying out loud, think about this. We tend to listen to them and what they say instead of praying for ourselves. So in a silent prayer, it's a perfect opportunity for you to pray. So what I'm saying is, if you said you wanted to pray, basically what you said, you wanted to pray before you met God face to face. So now's the time. Now's the time to pray for these requests, for the list that we have, for the ones that was mentioned. Let's pray for our service, pray for our pastor, that the Lord would be with them and comfort them. And I know they probably won't leave Lily. I wouldn't think they would probably, they're probably at the hospital the whole time she's there knowing them. But they need our prayers. So I encourage you not only to pray for her, but to pray for our pastor and Miss Christie, that the Lord would be with them and help them. But it's the perfect time for us to be sure, just in case, that we're right to meet him. We need to do that every day, not just now. We need to do it every day. We need to make, if you want to call it a habit, I hate to call it that, but it ought to be something we do every day, that we ought to pray and confess anything that we've done or said. Or let me rephrase that a little bit. It's not just what we do. Sometimes it's what we don't do. Sometimes it's what, you know, sometimes what we don't do is a sin. So we need to be, you know, stay prayed up, I guess is what I'm saying. Stay current. So we want to do just a silent prayer. If you want to come to the altar, if you want to do it there, that's fine. Either way you want to do it. But I encourage you to pray. If you do that, then tonight won't be a waste of time. So let's pray. You gonna sit? Tender and mild, sleep
thy birth. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth.
Thank you, Darryl. Turn to John chapter 10. John chapter number 10. I want us to, tonight I want to talk to you about the shepherd and the sheep. Studying this, I probably know more about sheep than I wanted to know, if that's possible. Let me tell you something a little funny before I start. After that episode that I told you about, my friend come to visit, my so-called friend, come to visit me the next day in the hospital. They said, "You've got a big problem." I said, "What's that?" He said, "Even God didn't want you." I said, "So-called friend." John chapter 10. I want to read a few verses to you before we start in the Psalms 23. Then John chapter 10, starting in verse 11. If you have a red letter edition, this is God, Jesus himself speaking. He says, "I am the good shepherd." Don't miss that. "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." That's what he did. The Bible likens us, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. The Bible likens us as sheep. That's not a great compliment. If you know anything about sheep, that's not a great compliment, but it's unreal how much we are like sheep without him. How much we are like sheep without him. But he says, "I am the good shepherd, giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling," or somebody they would hire, most of the time, what I've studied about this, most of the time, the shepherd or the owner of the sheep basically took care of the sheep. But sometimes they would hire somebody to do it. And look what it says. A hireling, or someone they would hire. "And not the shepherd whose own sheep or not, who owns the sheep or not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. The wolf catches them, and scatters the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep." He doesn't have any investment. The owner has investment in the sheep. He purchases the sheep. A hireling, or someone you would hire to look after the sheep, has no investment in the sheep. So when danger comes, they may just take off. They may not defend the sheep. Again, in verse 14, he says, "I am the good shepherd," look at this, "and I know my sheep." I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of mine. Not only does he know the sheep know him. Don't miss that. The sheep know me, I know them, and they know me. Look over in Hebrews. Chapter number 13, starting in verse number 20, it says, "Now the God of peace that brought him again from the dead, our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep." John says it's a good shepherd. Here Hebrews says the great shepherd. One more, 1 Peter. First Peter, we'll just read verse 4. First Peter chapter 5, verse 4. Chapter 5, verse 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear. So here are these three times. He's called the good shepherd, he's called the great shepherd, and he's called the chief shepherd. Go over to to Psalms 23. Psalms chapter number 23. This is probably the most familiar chapter probably in the Bible. Psalms 23. Probably the most known, probably most of y'all can even quote it. Probably one of the first things you learn in Sunday school is the 23rd Psalm. Now I want to approach this a little different than what, I'm sure you've heard a lot of messages on the 23rd Psalm. Now I want to teach to you tonight a little different than what you may have ever heard it before. I can't remember, but I don't think I ever heard it. But it's written this way. It's written as if the sheep are doing the talking. If Hollywood can make a horse that can talk, God can make a sheep that can talk. So it's like the sheep are doing, if you've ever noticed this, it's like the sheep are doing the talking. Now David is the writer of this. David was a shepherd. He took care of his father's sheep. He was even known as the shepherd king of Israel. So he knows sheep. Who better that can write about sheep than David? Look what he says, verse number 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. What does he mean by that phrase, I shall not want? It means he knows the shepherd. It means he trusts the shepherd. He's happy with his shepherd because he believes his shepherd will provide for him what he needs. He believes the shepherd will protect him. Doesn't it kind of sound like what we read about the good shepherd and the great shepherd and the chief shepherd? Think about what the shepherd does for the sheep. The sheep are the only animal I can think of that are defenseless. They have no way to defend themselves. Other animals are swift, they're fast, they can run away from danger. Other animals have claws, they can fight, they can defend themselves. A shepherd has to take care of the sheep. Remember the story of David, talked about when he was a shepherd boy. He killed a lion and a bear, protecting his sheep. He was doing for his sheep what Jesus says he did for us. Laid down his life for the sheep, willing to do that. This shepherd that says, I shall not want, trust his shepherd, believing his shepherd will do whatever it needs to be done to provide for him. Isn't that what Jesus does for us? Think about what he does for you. Think about not just what he's done, but not just for salvation. I'm talking about, that's the biggie. Don't get me wrong. But think about what he does for you every day. Every day. He does for us just like this shepherd does for his sheep. Look what he says in verse 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. The pastures are very important to the sheep. What the shepherd will do, and I read a lot about this, what the shepherd would do before he would lead his sheep to a new pasture. And they have to do that because the sheep destroy a pasture. It doesn't take long, so they have to keep changing the pastures. But before he goes and takes his sheep to a new pasture, he goes and checks it out. He goes and be sure grass is good. Even to the point if he sees any weeds that are harmful for the sheep, he will pull them up, get them out of there, because the sheep will eat them, even though they would be harmful to the sheep. The sheep would eat them. They'll eat anything. There might be danger there, whatever it is. He checks out the pasture before he ever takes his sheep there to be sure it's a good place, good safe place for the sheep. Then he says, he leadeth me beside the still waters. A sheep can be dying of thirst, and it will not drink from moving water. It has to be still water. So when the shepherd is checking out this new pasture, he's got to be sure that there's a place for the sheep to get water. Because what the sheep will do if there's mud holes, stagnant water, water full of parasites, the sheep will drink it because it's still. So he has to be sure that there's not anything like that where the sheep are going to be grazing. So he has to be sure that they have a place where they can drink water, because a lot of the sheep are raised in arid areas. I remember when we were in Israel, on our journeys to different places in Israel, we would see shepherds and their sheep in what I would call the desert. I mean, there wasn't grass there, but they was probably leading them to somewhere where they could get grass and where they could find water. Verse 3, he restoreth my soul. Why would he put that there? Why would he put, he restoreth my soul? Why would David write that? Look over just a few pages to chapter 42. Chapter 42 and verse number 11 says, why art thou cast down? We're talking about sheep. When it talks about being cast down, it's a term that they use when a sheep, one way or another, gets flat of its back. It slips and falls, whatever, and gets flat of its back. A sheep cannot get up if it's flat of its back. That's what they call cast down. That's what they call it. It's a term that the shepherds use for sheep that are flat of their back. They're cast down. The shepherd, and that if the shepherd doesn't get them up, then they'll die in that condition. They won't last long in that condition. So the shepherd has to get them up, or they die. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. To the shepherd, their names is a big deal. They want to be known as a good shepherd. They want to be known as a shepherd that takes care of his sheep. Their desire is to be well thought of among the other shepherds, among the people. And it's kind of strange, because the shepherds were about the bottom of the totem pole, so to speak. And I read this, and I wasn't aware of this, but until I read this, but the shepherds were not even allowed in the temple. They were not allowed in the temple because they were considered dirty, not clean, because of their job, because of what they did. They were not even allowed. But their reputation was important to them. They wanted to be known as a good shepherd, not only to their sheep, but to the people around. They wanted to be known as a good shepherd. Verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We can look at that as two different ways. The dangers that are out there. I've mentioned David and the bear and the lion, the wild animals, being the sheep being defenseless. They have no way of defending themselves. So the shepherd has to defend them. The shepherd was only armed with a staff. You've seen the staff with a big crook on it, the staff. And then they had a stick on a string that they hung around their wrist. This is what they defended their sheep with, kind of a heavy stick. And that's what animals would come to attack their sheep. That was the only protection they had to defend their sheep. But they were willing to do that, even at the cost of their own life. They would protect their sheep. On the spiritual part of that is, I like this, because it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. One word in there I want you to pay attention to. Through the valley of the shadow of death. Through. He will see us through. When you get up my age, you think more about death, I guess, than you do any other time. Because you realize you don't have that much time left. If the Lord doesn't come back, a few more years, who knows? We don't know. It says, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. The sheep says, because of my shepherd, I will fear no evil. Because of our shepherd, we don't have to have fear. We don't have to be afraid. We don't know. Things are out there in this world that you and I live in, it's unreal. I was listening to the news this morning, and the CEO of United Healthcare was assassinated in New York outside his hotel, 50 years old. And they're calling it not a drive-by shooting or anything like that. They're calling it an assassination. We don't know. We don't have any idea. I'm sure he didn't think today would be his last day on this earth. But we don't know either. The world you and I live in is unreal. He says, I will fear no evil. Why would you not fear evil? Because thou art with me. He's with us. Sometimes we wonder why things happen. Sometimes bad things happen to us. I guess I did that, didn't I? Sometimes bad things happen. Bad things happen to Christians. Sometimes we don't understand that, but it happens. We go through things we don't want to go through. Some people have the idea, because I guess they listen to preachers on the radio, listen to preachers on TV, and those guys are bad about saying that if you are saved, if you accept Christ as your personal Savior, you won't have any more problems. All your problems will be over with. If you've been saved over about 5 minutes, you done figured out that's not true. Because you're going to think about this. Think logically. Before you were saved, you were on the devil's side. You belong to him. Why would he bother you if you belong to him? But once you're saved, you've got a target on your back, because the devil is going to do everything he can to stop you from doing what you're supposed to be doing, what God has called you to do. The devil can't do anything about your salvation. You don't have to worry about your salvation. But he messes with your fellowship. He gets you to do something that's not pleasing to God, and that breaks your fellowship with God. So it's important, what we just did a while ago, to stay, pray to that, stay, confess to that. It's important that we do that. Last part of verse 4 says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Remember what we talked about, the staff, and they call it a rod. It's just a stick about that long, and they had a leather strap that they put around their wrist, and they use that to defend their sheep. Or, David didn't really say anything about this, but I think we'd have to add this. They also use it to correct their sheep. We call it, as Christians, we call it when we do something we shouldn't do, that God chastises us. If you can do something wrong and continuously do something wrong, and there's no chastisement, there's no correction, you've got a serious problem. Because God chastises those that belong to Him. You don't go down the street and catch the kid that's misbehaving and spank the kid that doesn't belong to you. So God corrects those that belong to Him. And I read this. I thought this was kind of sounds heartless a little bit. But sometimes they would have a lamb that would just wander off. And the shepherd cannot leave the rest of the sheep unprotected and go find this lamb that wanders off. He might get by with it a time or two, but if he just keeps doing that, then the shepherd has to do something to correct that lamb. You know what they would do? They would take that rod and they would break its leg. That sounds harsh, doesn't it? I mean, that almost sounds mean. It's a little defenseless lamb, and take that rod and break its leg. But you know what he'd do then? He'd pick that lamb up and put it on his shoulders, and he'd carry that lamb everywhere it needed to go. And that's kind of what God does for us. Even though he chastises us, he does it in love. He does it because he loves us. It's only reason. But just like that little lamb, he might chastise us, but he picks us up and puts us on his shoulders and carries us on wherever we need to go. Sometimes discipline this has to happen. Look in verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Talking about what we were talking about, the pasture. Him preparing the pasture for the sheep before he ever takes the sheep to the pasture. And there may be dangers there. There may be wild animals there. But he protects his sheep. Thou anointest my head with oil. Anytime you see oil in the scriptures, it's a type of the Holy Spirit. Type of what they do, the sheep, especially in the summertime, the flies, all kind of pests would bother the sheep. And this sounds kind of bad, but one of the worst ones was called a nasal fly. This fly would get up in their nostrils and lay its eggs. And when the legs hatched, the larva would bury into their, all the way up into their brain. And a sheep, when it got that bad, they would knock their head against a rock, anything they could find, even to kill themselves, because it was so bad. anointest, and they would take oil, and they would put it on the sheep's head, and it would keep the flies and pest away from them. But that's the type, as I said, that's the type of the Holy Spirit. Then the sheep says this, my cup runneth over. Says, I am blessed because of my shepherd, because I have a good shepherd, because I have a shepherd that does everything for me that needs to be done. He defends me. He feeds me. He takes me to clear water, cool water. He does everything for me. Because of that, my cup runneth over. Spiritually, can't we say that today? Because of what God does for us, the way he blesses us, more than we can stand almost. I think heaven, when we get to heaven, we have to have a new body, because I don't think this one would take it. I don't think this body would be able to stand what's going to happen, what we're going to see, what it's going to be like. I think that's why we get a new body, because this one didn't do it. So we're blessed. Don't ever think. Sometimes we feel down. We feel sad. We feel, you know, it's not having a good day. Things are not going well. We think nobody cares about us. We think nobody loves us. We could fall off the end of the earth and nobody care. They could just fall in a hole somewhere and never be found. Nobody care. There's one that cares. Don't ever forget this. There's one that cares for you. And this sheep says that about his shepherd. My cup runneth over because of my sheep, my shepherd. Because of my shepherd. Verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I'm not looking for a new shepherd. I'm happy with the shepherd that I have, because the shepherd takes care of me. And because of that, I am blessed. How about spiritually? How about the goodness and the mercy of God? The goodness, the grace of God, the mercy of God. Don't ever take that for granted. Don't never take too lightly the mercy and the grace of God. Mercy, not getting what you deserve. We don't deserve anything. We don't deserve anything God does for us. But because of his mercy, we don't get what we deserve. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. We don't deserve anything from God. Some people act like they feel like God owes them something. God doesn't owe us anything. It's because of his mercy and his grace and his love toward us that he does what he does for us. Don't ever not thank him for his love and his mercy and his grace. He says in the last phrase of verse 6, he says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That word dwell is more than what we think it is. We think if you dwell somewhere, you just live there. One writer says this word dwell means to take up residence. To take up residence. I like that. Take up residence. Not just there, but he works and does while he's there. The Holy Spirit, it is unreal what all the Holy Spirit does for us. I mentioned in Sunday school the other day, without the Holy Spirit, you wouldn't even be saved. Because it takes the drawing of the Holy Spirit. You wouldn't even know you were lost without the Holy Spirit. So don't take lightly the Holy Spirit, because it inhabits us. It lives within us. It's active. It doesn't just dwell. It's active. That's what I like about it. It's active in what he does for us. So this is probably different, a little early, but I'm through. It's a little more than what we think, what the Spirit does for us. So don't miss that, because the Holy Spirit is just involved in our salvation as Jesus was involved in our salvation. One writer said, God thought it, Jesus did it, and the Holy Spirit tells us about it. So don't miss the importance. A lot of times in a Baptist church, you don't talk too much about the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is just as much God as Jesus is God. Don't miss that. All right, anybody got anything before we go? All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the privilege it's been to be able to teach today. I thank you for each one that's here. I pray that something was said that would cause them to think about you. Think about the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd. Father, I hope us and pray again for Justin, Christy, Miss Lily. Lord, I ask you to touch her. I ask you to heal her body. Father, be with us Sunday in the service. Be with Alan as he has the service Sunday. Use him in a special way. Touch his body. Give him the strength he needs to be able to preach. Father, have your way now in all these things. We ask in your name. Amen.